Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Let's join Pastor Tim Yazel for today's message.
There was a secular music group back in the 60s that in 1967 had a song that said this: "How can I be sure? In a world that's constantly changing, how can I be sure where I stand with you? I really, really, really want to know." Now, obviously, that song was not talking about spiritual things, but I believe that's a question that most of us have asked at one time or another in our lives. How can I be sure, God? How can I know for sure where I stand with you? Very few Christ followers will ever go through their Christian life without having some sort of doubt in their lives. Is the Lord going to really supply our need? Is the Lord going to come through for us? Or is the Lord going to let us go down to go down the tubes, to suffer loss? We have doubt in our lives. Let me just say this: doubt is not always sinful. In fact, sometimes doubt can be a springboard to an even deeper faith. I can remember when my daughter was struggling with her own faith, not sure whether she really had saving faith in Jesus Christ. She began to wonder, do I have faith, or am I just riding the coattails of my mom and dad's faith? And she went through a real crisis of faith late junior high years. She went to her youth pastor, and she talked to her youth pastor and his wife, and they were able to counsel her through this time of doubt in her life. And she came out on the other side stronger than ever, a real witness for Jesus Christ. So sometimes doubt can be the very springboard to an even deeper faith. So what is doubt? What am I talking about when I say doubt? Well, doubt is when we sense that there are contradictions between what we see, our circumstances, and what we believe. Doubt is a contradiction between what we are living out and what we know that God has promised in His Word. Doubt is when what is happening to me just doesn't seem to add up. It doesn't make sense in the light of all that we know about God. Given what I've read about God and what I've learned about God and what I've experienced about God, the things I'm going through just don't make sense. They don't add up. Our doubts might be circumstantial. Why is this happening to me? Where is God right now while this is happening to me? Sometimes our doubts might be intellectual. We have maybe even been following God for many years, and then this wave of doubt comes, and we ask, is this all real? Is there really a God? How can I know for sure that there's a God? Doubts might be intellectual, but doubts also might be spiritual. And I've encountered these kinds of doubts. If I'm really a Christian, like I claim to be, then why do I keep on sinning? How can I be a true believer in Christ and struggle so much? Or even this one: if I really do belong to Christ, why would I even have doubts? Why would there be doubts if I really do belong to Christ? Let me just assure you of this. Just because a person has doubts does not mean that he or she is not committed to God. After all, Abraham had doubts. Moses had doubts. Joshua, Sarah had doubts. David, a man after God's own heart, had doubts. Elijah experienced doubts. I can relate to the kind of doubts that Solomon expressed in the book of Ecclesiastes. Peter had doubts. And so did John the Baptist. And it's John the Baptist that I want to look at today. John the Baptist had doubts. And perhaps rightfully so. John had been a faithful servant of Jesus Christ, a herald, a forerunner of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist not only preached the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, but he also preached the truths of God's Word in other areas. And as a faithful prophet of God, one who speaks for God, John the Baptist preached against sin. And that's what got him in trouble with the government. You see, Herod, King Herod had been living in what was very publicly known as sexual sin. John the Baptist called Herod out regarding this sexual sin. And so John was thrown into jail because of calling out Herod on Herod's sin. John had done the right thing. John had not done anything wrong. John the Baptist had obeyed the Lord, but now he's in prison. He's in prison after having done the right thing. You know, as you're sitting there in those cold, damp prison cells, especially for back then, you might begin to ask yourself, should I have done that? Was that really God telling me to do that? Should I have just kept my mouth shut so I could still be out there evangelizing, preaching the good news? But now he's in prison. He's out of service. He can't travel around preaching the good news of the gospel. Probably the best preacher that God had at the time is now out of commission, wasting away in jail, not able to fulfill his calling. What's up with that? John was simply obeying what he believed God had asked him to do. And look what happened. He's in jail. This wasn't part of the plan. Things had not gone the way John perhaps envisioned them going. He was supposed to be out there preaching the good news. And so John had questions, and those questions led to doubts. And we find that in our text today in Matthew chapter 11. I'd like to call your attention to verse 1. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, and they said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? So John's in prison. He's got these doubts. I mean, I thought Jesus was the Messiah. I thought I was doing the right thing, serving him. He's hearing of all these great works that Jesus is doing. But he's got doubts. He's just not sure. So he sends two of his disciples to go to the prison and to ask Jesus, "Are you the one that we're looking for?" In other words, are you the Messiah? Are you the anointed one that we've been waiting for and looking for centuries, even millennia? Jesus, are you the one, or should we keep looking? Is there another that we should look for? He needed to know. For all John knew, he was living out his last days. For all John knew, he would never get out of prison alive. And so he has doubts. Before he dies, he wants to know, are thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now keep in mind, this is the very same preacher that had previously seen Jesus coming toward him, and he proclaimed in John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." And then verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." John has no doubt there. He's proclaiming Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's proclaiming Jesus as the one who existed before John did. In other words, the pre-existent one, the holy uncreated one. He is boldly proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. No doubt, no questions, no wavering. Back then, he had boldness. But now, while he's in prison, he has doubt. What happened? What happened to John? Why the doubt? Why now the question, art thou he who should come, or do we look for another? Jesus, I thought you were the one, but now I'm not sure. Are you he that was promised? John just needed to know. So what did Jesus do? Jesus has a faithful servant who is now in prison, and he's filled with questions, and he has doubt. And notice how Jesus responded, Matthew 11, beginning with verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." I want you to notice, first of all, what Jesus did not say. Jesus did not tell these two disciples of John to go back to John and tell John to read the prophets, "For the prophets speak of me. I came to fulfill the prophets regarding the Christ." He didn't tell them to go back and tell John that. He did not say, "Go tell John that I am the eternal, the sovereign, the all-powerful God, the God of creation. There is none like me. You don't need to wait for another because there is none other like me." But he didn't tell them that either. What did Jesus tell John's disciples? He told them simply this, "Go tell John what you have seen Tell him what you have witnessed with your own eyes. Tell him what you've heard with your own ears. I want you to go tell John about these six specific miracles. I want John to know about these miracles so that his faith might be bolstered. Go tell John that the blind see, that the lame, those that could not walk, some of them since birth, the lame walk. Lepers that no doctor can heal. Lepers for whom there is no hope are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. These people had never seen that. This had not been witnessed before Jesus among these people. The dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Go tell him. Go tell him of these six miracles. Now, why did Jesus point to miracles rather than to Old Testament prophecies as proof that he was in fact the one that Israel had been looking for? But like I said, they had never seen anything like this before. This is not something, these six things are not things that they just saw every day. They had never seen these things. And Israel would know that nobody else but the Messiah could do this. Only God could do these things. This was the proof that Jesus is God in the flesh. Because only God could do these miracles. Jesus here could have given a lot of theology. Jesus could have said, "I am the uncreated one." Jesus could have said, "I have existed since before the beginning of time." Jesus could have said, "I am the all-powerful, the omnipotent, the only true God." Jesus could have said that Isaiah prophesied of my coming, and I have fulfilled all of those prophecies. But Jesus, in telling John's disciples to go tell what they had seen and what they had heard, Jesus offered the kind of proof that could not be refuted. You can argue with ideologies. People do it all the time. You can argue with opinions. That's kind of what life's made up of. You can argue with claims. But you cannot argue with changed lives. Something had happened in each of these miracles. Something that had happened that was unexplainable, that could not happen by accident. Lives were changed, and you cannot argue with changed lives. And so Jesus sent John's disciples back and said, "I just want you to go back and tell John what you personally have experienced, what you've personally witnessed and heard. Go tell him the stories of changed lives." And then I want you to see what happened next. After Jesus talked to John's disciples and after he sent them back with his message, notice verse 7 if you would. "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now let me just give you some background here. John was not some spineless, flashy, tickle-the-ears kind of preacher. John, according to Jesus, was a prophet and then some. He was a prophet and more than a prophet. Jesus told the multitude here that John the Baptist was the greatest of human beings. There has never been one born of women that is greater than John the Baptist, he said. The greatest of human beings, Jesus calls him. And yet John has doubts. I want you to notice here from Jesus' declaration three things. First of all, doubt is not necessarily a sin, nor is doubt unforgivable. Jesus did not rebuke or chastise John for his doubt. Secondly, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Doubt is not necessarily a lack of faith. The opposite of faith is unbelief. Doubt is not necessarily the opposite of faith. And third, doubt is not lacking faith. Doubt is not lacking faith. Now, let me just give this one caveat here. You might be here today and you might say, well, I'm not 100% sure what I believe about Jesus. I'm not 50% sure that if I die tonight that I go to heaven. You might be here today and you doubt because you've never believed. And that's possible as well. That was not John's case. Jesus basically was saying here, John may have lost his confidence in me, but I still trust in John to carry out my calling in his life. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he still trust John? Because Jesus knew what he could do through John. John's doubts were not deal killers. John's doubts would not cause him to be put on the shelf. Jesus simply bolstered John's faith. I say simply, simple for him, not necessarily for us or for John. Not only was Jesus the one that Israel was looking for, not only is Jesus the Messiah for whom Israel waited many, many centuries, millennia. Not only is he the one they were looking for, Jesus is the one that you are looking for. Whether you know it or not, Jesus is the one that you're looking for. He is the only answer to our sins problem. He alone can solve our greatest problem. He alone is qualified to be our Savior. And this morning, I offer to you that you can know, you can be 100% sure that He is your Savior. Another John, not John the Baptist, but the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We don't have to hope that he's our Savior. We don't have to hope that we are on our way to heaven. We don't have to settle for being 25% sure, or 50% sure, or even 75% sure that we belong to Jesus Christ. The Apostle John says we can know. You can be 100% sure today that Jesus is your personal Savior. Don't wait until you stand before God and then hope that He lets you into His heaven. John says we can know right now. In fact, we need to know now. We can't wait till we get to heaven. It's too late. Well, you say, well, Pastor Tim, how can I know? I've never seen the blind given sight. I've never seen the lame made to walk. I've never seen lepers cleansed or the deaf suddenly hear or the dead raised. I've never seen any of this that Jesus gave to John to bolster his faith. How can I know? Well, we may never have seen any of those things, but we can see changed lives. People all around you whose lives have been radically transformed. People who were on a path leading to destruction, who were radically changed by placing their faith in Jesus Christ. We talked earlier about our Upfront program, about our program that shares true life stories of our people whose lives have been transformed by the power of the gospel through Jesus Christ. That's what Upfront's all about. Changed lives. And like I said before, it's hard to argue with a changed life. Jesus says to you today, look what I've done in her life. Look at the change in his life. I can do the same for you. Will you let me? Will you trust me to do that in your life? Let me assure you, you can trust Jesus Christ. No doubts. You can place your faith in Jesus Christ. You can trust Him to be your Savior. You can trust Him to wash away your sins. You can trust Him to give you the gift of eternal life. And you can trust Him today. You don't need to sit here and guess or hope that you're on your way to heaven. You can walk out of here today knowing for sure that you're headed to life eternal with Jesus Christ in heaven. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you to do so in just a few moments. But if you're here today and you are a follower of Christ, but you have struggled with doubt, you're in good company. I told you at the beginning of the message, others that have doubted, you're in good company. How can you deal with doubt? One pastor put it this way. He said, face up to your doubt and confess it to God. Act on your faith, not your doubts. In other words, don't doubt in dark times what God has promised you in the light. Third, surround yourself with those that have enough faith for themselves and you too. You can draw strength from their faith. You can begin to trust by watching their example. And fourth, anchor to what you know is true. Anchor your soul, anchor your life to what you know is true, not to what Satan tricks you into believing. Trust what God has said.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.